Okay. We had this idea, James and us were talking, and, you know, for the Pate Institute for Peace Education and also for ACI, we'd like to do this course in August, second half of August. And we're trying to find things that might, promote peace in the world. And so if I had to think of the first thing, it would be patience. And that's why we did the patience course from Master Shantideva's work last summer, right? Was it summer? No. March, yeah. And in general, I think it'd be cool. I'd like to come to New York twice a year or something and do things, you know what I mean? Courses. So I was thinking the next most useful course I could think of would be this one. And this is the teaching on Master Shantideva, by Master Shantideva on exchanging yourself and other people. Like, this is very famous. And I'm going to write it up here, just because the name is so important. This part you have to know, okay? It's just like a mantra in the monastery. Say, Dakshin, Nyamje. Dakshin, Nyamje. So somebody says, what are you going to be teaching this summer? You're going to say, I'm teaching Dakshin Nyamje. Okay. Dak means me, right? Self. And it's a loaded word, right? Atma. It can also mean the self-existent object, you see? So remember that. You guys have the hardest class in the course to teach. It just fell out that way, you know? You're doing 2, 4, 7, and 9. Because I'm doing Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, so you're doing Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. So it just comes out 10 classes. You get the second one, which is Saturday afternoon, and then you get the fourth one, which is Sunday afternoon, and then you get the seventh one, which is the following Saturday afternoon, and then you get the ninth one. Now the second one happens to be the hardest one of all. Really hard. Maybe the one of the hardest things in the whole book. So today we really gotta work hard. Because to teach it right is extremely hard. Okay? And I get confused just thinking about it. And I can read all the commentaries and everything else. And by the way, we're using two main commentaries, you know, Gyaltsebje. And we're using Prajnakaramati. Okay? Prajnakaramati. Who is a sidekick of whom? 1,000 years ago. Naropa, okay? Rasa Naropa, alright? Prajnakaramati was the gatekeeper. The other gatekeeper. When Naropa was the gatekeeper. Of what? Some people say Nalanda, some people say Vikramahashila. Anyway, one of the old great Buddhist Indian monasteries. Okay. And then some people call them different directions, doesn't matter. Anyway, they were the two of the four greatest debaters of the monastery. So they were sidekicks. Okay? So we're going to be using those two commentaries. And it's really difficult to understand the root text at this point by itself. You can't sit down and buy the Bodhisattva Charivatara English translation and expect to understand it. It's impossible, okay? So dark means myself. Shen means other people. And then Nyamje. This is what people call exchanging, but really you know it's two steps. It's two different steps. Nyam means equal. People say equalize. I don't like big words like that in Dharma teachings. But it means to treat yourself and others equally. To learn to treat yourself and others equally. And then J means to exchange yourself and others. And Prajnakaramati says you have to do the Nyamba first, and then you can do the Jewa. Okay? You have to do the learn to think of yourself as equal first. Then you can exchange yourself and others. Now what those mean is really difficult. It's not what it sounds like. Okay? It's not that easy. Alright? And you will find out. So anyway, you're teaching Dakshin Nyamje, which is like the holiest practice ever. It's like the antidote for selfishness, and ultimately the antidote for self-perceivingness, you see? Which always come together. Are they the same? Is selfishness and seeing things as self-existent the same thing? No. But one comes from the other. You see, being selfish and all other mental afflictions derive from believing that things are self-existent. Okay? So, you gotta be comfortable with that difference, right? Selfishness is like watching out for number one. Seeing things as self-existent influences everybody, infects every mind. And seeing things as self-existent is why we get selfish. Okay? We'll talk about that. Okay? But one is the root of all evil. The other is just one of the forms of evil in the world, selfishness. Okay? Alright. I'm gonna ask you, this was in Course 11, I think. And I know you all teach it all the time. I had to look it up, okay? I don't remember. But what chapter is it in, you know, if you got six perfections to choose from, which one would be the chapter in which this is presented? Maybe? Yeah, meditation, okay? Developing samadhi, shamatha, you know? It's in the eighth chapter. So, whereas last time in New York we taught the whole sixth chapter on patience as an in-depth course, now we're not teaching the whole chapter. Like, we were thinking to call this course the chapter on meditation or something, but we're not going to do the first half of that chapter. It's a huge chapter. The first half of the eighth chapter, which is devoted to the fifth perfection, perfection of meditation, right? The first half is all about going to Diamond Mountain. Okay? It's all about, you know, when you're ready, get serious, go out, live in the wilderness, you know. I'll be happy with the birds and the animals. No one will be around. I can finally sit down and practice seriously. You know, the whole first half of the eighth chapter is a sales pitch on Diamond Mountain, which I'll get to later. Seriously, it's like when you're ready, when conditions are right in your life, you have to have the option to go and concentrate and be away from people, you know. That's like live a yogi's existence. That's his whole, if you study class 11 again, which you should do, you know, you'll see. That's the first half of chapter 8. It's a sales pitch on going out and doing three retreats or something, okay? Then the second half of that chapter is, well, if you go out to do this practice, if you go out to develop shamatha, what should you meditate on? What's the holiest object of meditation? You see? What would be the... And, you know, Christy and I are preparing her class for September in Diamond Mountain, which is called Bok Jinbo, which is it's like how to set your meditation on fire. Like, everybody, you learn to meditate, then 5 years later, you need some kind of vitamins for your meditation? You know, like your meditation, it's typical that you, when you first learn to meditate, you're like, boom. And then it peaks out. And then sometimes it even deteriorates. And then like 5, 10 years later, you're like, I don't really meditate it that well. Like when I first heard the meditation course, I got really excited. I worked really hard on it. And then I just sort of cruised for a while. And now, frankly, it's not as good as it was. And the idea of her course in September is like, what do you do for a person who's at that stage? Not who doesn't know how to meditate, but who's leveled out in their meditation practice. And she's going to be teaching Kamala Shila's root text, how to meditate, which is what all Tibetan meditation teachings are based on. And we got the Sanskrit, we got the Tibetan, and she's translating the whole thing. And it's very beautiful. And it's the source of all. But what we found is interesting, he doesn't talk about meditation for the first half of the book. Why? He talks about the object of meditation. You see? And people get frustrated. I've heard even great scholars in the West say, the Tibetans don't teach meditation technique. You know? But they get confused because Tibetans can't divorce the object from the technique. You see? To them, it would be unnatural to present meditation technique without talking about what you meditate on. It'd be like taking the asanas out of yoga and just teaching exercises and not doing the spiritual part, you know. So then Americans are like, oh, we just want the technique, you know. We've done that with yoga. And now we're working to reunite them, right? But in the first half of the Bhavana Krama, the stages of the meditation, Kamala Shila talks, the first half is devoted to compassion. Karuna, right? taking care of other people. It's very beautiful. He doesn't get to the how to meditate. He doesn't get to how to sit on your seat. And the seven or what, eight features of the posture until halfway through the book. Because he said, look, the object's the most important thing. So in Natchasati Devi, you have first half of the eighth chapter, sales pitch on meditation. Meaning, for him, go out, give up the world, go to the wilderness, devote yourself. Second half, what are you going to meditate on? Dakshin Yamje. So that's your, just so you know where you're coming from. You're coming in at class number two, right? Just so you know the flow. And by the way, I want to tell you, we're going to do something a little bit different on procedure. I have this idea. We do this class this afternoon, then we're going to break for dinner. During the dinner, you guys are going to get together however you want, and you know, two or three people in a restaurant, and write the questions for the homework. And then propose them to me. Now, when we get back this evening, I'll say, okay, who's got a good homework question? And then you guys say, I want to start doing that now on all the courses. You see, that's just something I want to start doing now. Like, we're going to teach this Tantu course in Diamond Mountain in September. That's a Lam Rim by the first Panchen Lama, which is required before Tantric practice. So I'm not going to write the homework. I want you guys to develop an ACI course out of that. The first year is an open thing, right? I want you to develop an open ACI course that you can teach people on that whole Lam Rim, which is a very beautiful Lam Rim. I don't think anyone's translated. I'm not sure. It's one of the eight famous Lam Rims. So that, I'd like to start doing that kind of thing. So now you gotta think, as we go through this class today, and make notes somewhere on your paper, right? Geshe Tutorinjin would say, I want a blank piece of paper, three pages down, and I'm gonna watch to see that you do it. You know, and you take little notes to yourself about what you think would be important homework questions. And I'll tell you the principle behind it. What will benefit people? You see what I mean? What will benefit their lives? Okay, like, that's the trick. It's not like the dates can come in the first homework, I'm taking care of that. You don't have to worry about the first homework, right? Now, you gotta think, I have this person's attention in New York City for half an hour, which is extraordinary, right? What will I ask them to remember? You see? And then the what do you call it? The tse in Tibetan. The measure of what you give them as a homework question has to be, what do you want them to get out of this course? Which means, what will help them in their life? What will help them in their real life? And what do I have to think about? You know, what are the great ideas that are coming here? You know, what's the point for a real person's life? Now you have to struggle with the homework question. Your homework questions have to be designed around that. And also I think I commonly like to write questions about what they might not have gotten. I mean, what's not evident from the text, you see what I mean? Without the commentaries or things like that, you know. Like something that if you read one of the 10 translations of this text that are out on the market now, you wouldn't get it. You see what I mean? So what do you call like misconceptions, dharma rumors? I like to, those are important, what do you call, fields for thought, you know. So then one more thing I urge you to do. Struggle. The reason, by the way, we lost $1,500 to teach tomorrow. We made a mistake on the airfare. We booked the flight for the wrong day. And then we were thinking to just cancel tomorrow's classes. And we said, no, they need time to cook it, you know. And you need 2 months to think, what the heck, what's the logic behind the verses, you know. Where is he going? See what I mean? Like, people struggle with the words of the text in Tibetan or Sanskrit. You know, scholars all over the world, they struggle with the words. One by one, they get the words. They get the words down, you know? And then they struggle and they figure out what he meant to say. But there's another big step. Where is he going? You know, what's the flow over all of the verses? We're going to cover 9 verses today in this first class. What's the logic? You see, people miss that. You know, what's he trying to get you to? You know, why? Where's he flying? So look at that too. Don't just in the verses. It's not enough. That's why we're giving you 2 months to cook it. You know, you gotta go home. with those nine verses and meditate on them over and over again. That was why the three retreat teachings were so good. Because I had 6 months of silence to think, you know, what's the flow here? You know what I mean? It's not just the verse itself. It's like, why did this verse come from the last verse? And why did he go to the next verse? You have to, what's the bigger picture? You have to struggle with that. And that's only going to come from 2 months of meditation. So I suggest for the next 2 months, you make these four classes the object of your meditation. And I predict that you will find deeper and deeper levels. He's like a lasagna. You know? Now he's got all these layers of pasta down there, you know? He's like, no, the top, you eat the top and then suddenly there's another one, you know? And you'll really love it. There's certain stuff that I can't tell you. And there's certain stuff that you have to discover in his book. And you will. The clue I give you is, think about why does each verse go to the next verse? You see, there's a message hidden in the flow. And some people just never get it, you know? They get stuck on the individual words or on the individual verses. But you have to look at the flow. Because the Sanskrit is very, what do you call it? Amorphous. You can take it many ways. And then the Tibetans chose to take it one way. They had to choose to translate. They couldn't leave a word meaning six things. They had to choose one word to translate it in. And then you're faced with a similar situation. The words are very subtle. Okay? Alright, here we go. You have your books. Pull out your first verse. I need my confuser. Feel free to drink water and stuff. It's hot today. It's a little muggy. And you can't understand class two without the last verse from class one. Okay? So I'm going to go back to the last verse of class one, which you don't have. Okay? But it says the following. I must stop the pain of others because it's pain. It's like the pain that I feel myself. I must act to help all others because they are living beings. It's like the body that I own. Okay? He's presenting a debate, okay? And it's the typical da-da-da-da chin-chan, da-da-da yin-te, da-da-da yin-be-e-chir, piano, da-da-da yin-be-e-chir, okay? Nang-shin. I'll give it to you. And you don't forget the Gyaltsa Jay of all things that he's remembered for what? Yeah, Ngunzo Gripe wants you Gyaltsa Jay in the prayer, right? Master of logic. You know, greatest logician. He was a great logician before he met Jetsun Khapa. He was already probably the most famous logician in Tibet. Then there's this beautiful story, if you don't know. He went to challenge Jetsun Khapa. And you know the story. If you don't, ask, you know the story. Anyway, he went to attack Jetsun Khapa. He ended up getting converted in the same night, okay? But he was a great logician. So he likes, and Shantideva, Master Shantideva, was the gatekeeper. He was the debater. So he and Gyaltsa Jay, maybe same life, I don't know. But that was their thing, debate, right? So here's his debate. Take pain. Take that pain. Of others. That's the chuchen, right? Da-da-da-da chuchen. Shingi-dinga chuchen. Right? Anya bukha dhami. We're going to debate in Sanskrit also in Diamond Mountain. Who wants to? Anybody who wants to. But then you'll learn it like that. And your Tibetan will go like that. And then we'll have English for people who want English. But anyway, take the pain of all of it. Okay? Now there's an assertion about it, right? That maybe the other person doesn't believe, right? So, like, take sound, it's impermanent, right? Why do you debate something like that? It's obvious that words are impermanent. Why do you debate something like that? Why is that the most famous debate in Buddhist magic? Yeah, the Om guys. The Om guys said, Om is eternal, Om is unchanging. And he said, come on, take sound. Take the sound of Om. It's impermanent, okay? What does he say? Take the pain of others. It is something I need to stop. Maya hanta vyam. Okay. It is something I. Vangi sada in the yente. It is something I need to stop. Because it's. Dukhat vat. Dukhya in the yente. Because it's pain. Now you know that Tsosom Yimba Dayan Daketseni, any thing that has the three relationships is the definition of a good reason, right? Which means this applies to this. If something is this, it must be that. If it's not this, it's not that. You don't have to remember all that, but that's the three qualities of a good reason. A must apply. C must be true of C. C must be true of A. And if C, I'll just put it here. C must be true of A. These are the three, right? System. If C, then B. If not B, not C. These are the three qualities of a valid reason, correct reason. Okay. If these three statements are true of this logical statement, then it's true. If these three statements are not true, if any one of them is not true of this logical statement, then it's not a valid statement, it's not correct. Okay. Let's check. Okay. Is C true of A? Is the pain of others pain? Yes, I mean, no one's gonna debate that, you know. No one's gonna debate that. Yin. Yin. Okay, it is. It is. Ah, but now we get to number two. Okay. Now we get to number two. And that's how you're gonna open your class. I mean, this is the opening of your class. If something is pain, does it mean it's something I have to stop? In other words, is all pain something I have to stop? Personally. And the me, maya, in Sanskrit, that's important. Dakhi sawaja. Anything which hurts is your responsibility to stop. Anything in the world, anything in the universe that hurts somebody is your responsibility to stop. You buy that. And the other guy says no. That's where we're starting your class. It's called Kyabadrupa. These are called J-Kyab and Do-Kyab. The necessity, which in logic means these two parts here are called the necessities. So if you look on the left side of your reading, it says establishing the necessities. Necessity means J-Kyab and Do-Kyab. These two logical parameters, you're trying to establish them. These two logical parameters. That's where Gyaltsev J's at. That's why it has that weird thing about necessities. Necessity means a logical necessity. If it's C, it must be B. If it's not B, it can't be C. Okay. We're going to concentrate on this one, the J-kyab. Number two. Why? The Do-kyab follows automatically. In any case where number two is true, number three is also true. Right. What? If you don't need to stop something, it can't be pain. Got that? That's a little hard. If you don't need to stop it, it can't be pain. If I can say about something, you don't have to worry about it, then it's not pain. Why? Because if something's pain, you've got to worry about it. Anybody's pain. Ah. Okay? So number three, you don't have to worry about. I don't think you even have to get in it with your students. Okay? That's just a formal logic thing. You don't have to worry about it. The main thing is, if it's pain, any kind of pain, is it my responsibility to stop it? Is it my problem? That's where you're picking up. And that's where Master Shantideva starts his verse here. Somebody like to read the English, Michael? A little bit loud. Yeah, he's on the Nyamba, and His Holiness loves these two verses. He says them all the time. You should point that out. You should say, you know, the greatest Dalai Lama who ever lived, you know, who we have the opportunity to see, in, you know, for the first time in history. He thinks these two verses are the greatest thing that were ever written. I mean, he bases his whole life, his whole teaching on these two verses, right? And they're great, right? This number 95 and 96, which is coming, okay? This one is, look, everybody wants to be happy. Everybody has a right to happiness, okay? We are equal. We are Nyamba, okay? In the Sanskrit, the Tsungpa and the Nyamba is Sama, which came into English as same. Okay, I mean, even linguistically, it's the same. We're the same. We're all the same. Everybody wants happiness. Okay? So it's not right that you just work for your own happiness. Okay? Why do you only work for yourself? There's no difference between us and other people. Okay? There's no difference between, everybody wants to be happy. So it's not logical, it's not moral, it's not right that you only work for your own happiness. Because we're all equal. Okay, that's the Nyamba. We're already to the Nyamba, okay? So we say, what am I teaching? I'm teaching Dakshin Nyamje. I'm teaching treating all of us equally. Oh, what's the classic verse? This is it. Look, everybody wants to be happy. So why do you just work for yourself? You know, why do you just work for your own happiness? That's not right. Okay? That's not right. This is Master Shantideva's response to an objection. What was the objection? We didn't hear the objection. By the way, there's two... Oh, let me do it this way. Somebody ends a logical statement with this because, okay? Because it's pain. You have two things you can answer in Tibetan. Well, you can say three things, right? You can say... They say, Dungyel Yimbeyeche. You can say, what? If you agree, you can say, by the way, this is not a duh, okay? Duh you say to tell, right? So you can say, right, right, in, it is, other people's pain is pain. You can agree. You can say, in, it is. Okay? That's if you agree. If you don't agree, remember there's two things you can say. Kama Machu's not here, he died, right? Sorry. Okay? There's two things you can say. You can say either tamadu, or you can say kyamachu. Tamadu is if you don't agree to this first one. What you're saying is, C is not true of A. If C is not true of A, you say tamadu. Wrong. It's not true that what? Pain is... Sorry, it's not true that other people's pain is pain. It's not true that pain applies to other people's pain. That's like saying, it's saying... Other people's pain is not pain. Tamadrup, at this point, is other people's pain is not pain. Is that what the other guy's trying to say? Would you say that? No, I mean, that's not a big, like, it's not hard to accept that other people's pain is pain. You know? That's not, unless you're, like, really out there on the emptiness misunderstanding range chart. You know, oh, nothing matters. Other people's pain is just illusion, you know? That's nobody's going to say. But, what about Kyama Machung? If C doesn't mean B, would he say that? Just because it's pain doesn't mean it's my problem. Just because it's pain in general doesn't mean it's not my problem. You think he might say Kyama Machung? That's the thing. He has come up between first class, the end of the first class, and the beginning of your class. And you've got to tell your students that, right? He's come up between there and said, just because it's pain doesn't mean it's my problem. Tabamachu. Okay? We said, take other people's pain. You have to work on it because it's pain. He said, did he say yin? Did he say tamadup? Or did he say kyamachu? He said kyamachu. I agree it's pain. But that doesn't make it my problem. Okay? Now we're in a position. Right now we got a debate running. We succeeded in starting a debate. Now we just have to prove it to him, right? We have to prove to him that if something is pain in general, it's your problem. That's where you guys are at. Okay. How do you start? Say, look, we're all equal. Everybody wants to be happy. So why do you just worry about yourself? So that's now our, that's his first counter argument. By whom? Master Shantideva. Okay? To this guy. Okay? Yeah. We're all the same. Don't you get it? Everybody wants to be happy. So why are you only working? Why do you say Chakma too? Yeah. By the way, and the second half of this verse is, sorry, the next verse, let's go on to the next verse. And everybody doesn't like pain. So why do you just protect yourself from pain? Why do you just worry about your own pain? Everybody, nobody likes pain. We're all equal. Sama. We're all the same. Okay? So these two verses hang together. They're a response to his what? Kamachim. Their response to his kamachim. Just because it's pain doesn't mean it's my problem. Look, now these two verses are like this. Everybody wants to be happy. Why do you just worry about your own happiness? A. B. Nobody wants to hurt. You know, why do you just protect yourself? Why do you just keep yourself out of trouble? Okay? So, these two verses hang together like that. These are Master Shantideva's counter argument. Got it? Now, what questions to frame? Start thinking. Okay, you got till like after dinner. Okay, start thinking. What would I? Oh, and another thing, I would like to, you know, if it were me, I'd throw in something about, you know, what are the Dalai Lama's current, the greatest Dalai Lama in history? What are his two favorite verses from the Shantideva? You know, that he's always saying people have a right to be happy. People have equal right to be happy. People have equal right not to hurt. You know? This is where he gets that from. This is where he just caught that from. Okay? Alright. Now, I just want you to think naturally now. Just think naturally. You're the other guy. You're the other guy. We said, everybody's equal. Nobody wants pain. Everybody wants happiness. So it is your problem. Other people's pain is your problem. You know. What do you think his mind would go to next? I mean, this is very natural. I hear it constantly when I teach. I can't feel that pain. Okay, you gotta get your students. Get them there. Make them work. Don't lecture them. Make them talk to you. You know, like, What do you think the guy's gonna say next? The guy's gonna say, oh, it's very noble what you say, you know, oh, they're equal, I'm equal, nobody wants to hurt, everyone likes, but the fact is, to be frank, I don't feel it when you stick a needle in somebody else's arm. That doesn't hurt me. So it's not really the same, is it? That's his thing. You say, yeah, it's very noble, you know, yeah. Sounds good. You get a Nobel Prize for saying stuff like that. But, frankly, I don't feel it with other people. You know, people are getting killed in Iraq today. I didn't know it happened to me. You know? It's not really true that we're all the same. In that sense. You know? So, it's not true that everyone's pain is something I need to take care of. I can't feel everybody's pain. You know? I gotta worry about the stuff I can feel here, on moi, number one. You know? That takes priority. Why? I can feel it. I can't feel their pain. You know, okay. That's his. So if you read number 97, who wants to read that? Let's just go around. Sintama? Good. Yeah, that's the second half. We're all equal and not wanting pain. Could you do that? You want to do the next one? Wow. Yeah. So now, second half of this verse is okay. So cancel your 401k. Cancel your 401k. Why? The future you is somebody else. You know? That's an other. That's someone not connected to you. That's a different person. Right? So why are you putting money into a 401k? You know? You can't feel their pain. They're somebody else. Okay? And more specifically, if you read the commentaries, he's talking about It's a very heavy thing. Why do good deeds in this life? Because there's no future lives to take care of. That's somebody else. Okay? If you really believe what you just said, hey, it doesn't hurt me. Why should I worry about it? Well then, why are you doing good deeds? Why are you a good Buddhist? Who are you trying to take care of? That's not you. That's somebody else. And frankly, we do that. I mean, it's a sign of maturity in a person that they begin to think about tomorrow. You know, like maybe I'm going to die, you know, like maybe I should do something. You know, I mean, most people don't even think that far. You see, most people don't think as far as their own death. You know what I mean? You are cheating the person on their deathbed by being lazy in today about your Dharma practice. It's not being fair to the lily on her deathbed, you see? You're cheating her. Just by enjoying your life, you see what I mean? For goodness sake, take care of them. Then the Shantideva would say, no, don't bother, that's somebody else. You can't feel their pain. I can't feel her pain right now. Okay, she's gonna suffer, she's gonna be on her deathbed, she's gonna be old and wrinkled and all broken down and nobody will like her and she'll be dying, but it's not my problem, I can't feel that right now. You know? So why do you practice Buddhism then? Who are you trying to take care of? That's somebody else. Don't worry. You know, enjoy yourself. Just get the most comfortable place you can and hang out. Don't worry about that future person. Okay? That leads us into the next. By the way, how will he? Okay, I'll give you where we're at again. I'll repeat where we're at. Oh, you think that since you can't feel someone else's pain, you shouldn't worry about it. Right. Well, can you at this moment feel the pain you're going to feel when you die? No. So why are you a Buddhist? Why are you trying to do good karma? Who are you trying to take care of? That's somebody else. Now, what's he going to say? What's the natural thing that comes in your mind? What's he going to answer? Yeah. And there's one thought just before that. You're still talking about pain that I'm going to feel. You see? Get it? Like, if you had said, why should I worry about somebody else's future life? Okay, I that's a good argument. But hey, I'm not that stupid. I mean, I know I will experience the pain when I die. We're still talking about pain that I feel. That I'm going to feel. It's not really true that I'm separate from that person. Because I am going to feel their pain. I am going to feel their pain. So, this is cool. Shantideva just won the argument. He just won the whole chapter. The guy just went over the logical cliff. In the debate ground, you'd be turning around and thinking, God, I got him now. You know, you're like, you just walk away. He says, well, I'm going to feel that pain. So I consider him me, you know. And then you're like, ah, got you, you know. And it may be half an hour later before he figures out that that's where he died. Okay? But you're like, you just walk, you turn your back, and you just smile, you know, because you know you got him now. You got him right where you want him, you know. You already got him. Why? Why did I say that? He's just proposed that, okay, that's not really me, and I'm not feeling his pain. But I think of it as me, because it's going to hurt me. That's all. I mean, okay, it's not technically me of the present. But since I'm going to feel it, I just kind of stretch my me out that far. So now Shantideva's got him, right? Why? Yeah, hey, if you can stretch it to him, what's the big deal about stretching it to other people? See? Oh, you just admitted that your me is a concept. We got him. You got to tell people this. You got to get your students there. They got to hear that at this point. He's got it. As a logician, the guy's trapped already. You just admitted that your concept of who me is an idea. You see? It's artificial. You've decided to include your future self. When in reality, they're two different guys. Right? We got him. He can't go anywhere now. He's going to end up having to include that lasso. I think of it as a lasso or a big rope. In Judaism, there's this thing I heard about Shabbat or Shavuot, I don't know, where you can draw a line. Yeah, you agree to stay, and it's actually a rope, or you draw it on the ground or something, and it's a boundary of where you're not going to go out during Shabbat or something. And it's the same thing. Like, you draw your boundaries. You just said so. I mean, we got him. He's dead now. Logically, he's dead. He just stretched himself to somebody else. Yeah, I know. Like, that telephone line is, I heard that. We do too. Okay. Got it? Okay. So now we're going to counterattack. We're going to start the counterattack. Are you saying that you define you and me artificially? You know, are you proposing that you decide who's you and that it's not something natural? Okay, that's where we're going. Okay, who wants to read 98? Right? You guys? Okay. So, we're kind of at a place where, look, he came back with, oh, I'm going to have to feel that pain. It's still my argument's good. Pain that I have to feel is me. Pain that I don't have to feel is not my problem. You know? Then he said, that idea is all wrong. Because it's two totally separate people. I mean, one has died already. One is going to be born. What are you talking about? Aren't they two separate people? Isn't John still, are they going to call him John still in his next lifetime? I mean, it's two different people. It's completely different people. After you die, you go through the bardo, you change identities. Totally different person. You're not the same person. Is that a good argument? So, Buddhist. They're going to call you something else. Assuming one of you, I don't know, has to take a rebirth, which won't happen, right? Suppose it's Dr. Tassangirupa. Suppose you had to. Are you going to be called the same? Are they going to call you Stillwell or Wayne? They're not going to call you Wayne. You're a different person. That argument. Okay? So why collect good karma for your future life? That's a different guy. Don't worry about it. You just said karma too. Just because it's pain. Doesn't mean I have to worry about it. Okay? Other people say I have to worry about it. Can't imagine. So why are you worrying about your future life? Oh, because I have to feel that pain. Come on, that's a different person. Okay, that's where we're at now. This verse is, come on, that's a different person. That's a totally different person. They're gonna give him a different name. He might have been a different sex. Might be a different animal. Might be an animal. Might be a spider. What are you talking about? That's a different person. Now, guess what Gyaltabjay says at this point about Master Shantideva's argument to a Buddhist. Let's say what he said again. You don't have to worry about your future life. That's a different person. It's not technically true. Technically, it's not true. You are the same person. Okay, so Gyaltabjay, being a logician, he's covering his logical Buddhist maxim. He's saying, look, technically this verse is it. And sometimes in debate, you can use a false statement to trip somebody up. And that's why it's so hard to translate the debate text. Sometimes the Rangluk, sometimes our side is a dumb argument, just because it might work on the guy. Sometimes we present a false argument because it might change the guy's thinking. This is like that. This is like that. You're not a different person. Of course you're the same person. Kansaki Gyu, right? You're the continuum. Is the person. You are the same person. Okay? You are the same person. Yeah, well, we're getting there. Well, we're setting him up, by the way. We're setting him up. We want him to worry about that. We want him to think, why is Gyaltabjay saying something stupid? Why is Master Shantideva saying it's a different person? I mean, all Buddhists accept it's the same person. And he's like saying, no, it's a different person. Other people's pain is not your problem. He's like making fun of the guy. This is your kind of thinking, right? Oh, it's separate. It's other. He's starting to attack his whole concept of other. He's starting to undermine that castle. He's digging under the wall. You know? Oh, it's somebody else. I don't have to worry about it. That's your mindset, right? Okay? He's undermining his thinking already. It's kind of beautiful. So now Gyaltabjay is going to say, let's give an example of where one other takes care of another that you think is very acceptable. Okay? Do you accept the idea that we should help others remove their pain just because it's pain? The guy says, no, I can't because it doesn't hurt me. Well then, Dwarven, ready? Next verse. By the way, there's a M dash after hand. It got lost when we converted it. He's starting to set that up. Master Shantideva is starting to set that up. And it'll come in the next verse, I think. He's starting to set that up. But right now he's saying, if you step on a thorn, if you step on a nail, and the nail's sticking in your foot, then you shouldn't pull it out. This is called a telnger, right? Prasangika. This is a telnger. Sarcasm based on the other guy's wrong view. That's what our Madhyamika school is called, right? Prasangika. Oh, well then I guess if you stepped on a nail, you wouldn't pull it out, right? Why do we say that? Yeah, separate. It's the foot that hurts. So why should the hand pull it out? Right? According to you. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just asking. You know? I guess you won't pull nails out of your feet anymore, right? Why? Because it's the foot that hurts, not the hand. The hand's fine. The hand's not hurt at all. The hand doesn't hurt. Okay? That's others' pain. Get it? It's so beautiful. That's somebody else's, that's the others' pain. You're setting them up for John's pain. You're setting them up. You know what the guy's gonna say. What's he gonna say? They both belong to me. Oh, how much is you? How far does you go? You know, it's very beautiful. You gotta meditate on this. You'll find 10 other levels there. You know? Yeah, that also has happened in the last two verses. And it's important to understand that. That has also happened in the last two verses. One, the last verse was considering me as you stretch the boundary over time. Are you your future life? You see? What we call a continuum, a view, a santana in Sanskrit. You know? Are you your you tomorrow also? And are you both your hand and your foot? Spatially. In one moment. So one is the concept of me over time. One is the concept of me in space. Okay? In a single moment. So, the word is right. Like the last verse is setting you up for the idea of me over a period of time. This verse is setting you up for the idea of me covering many objects in the present time. But it's so beautiful. The hand didn't get hurt. Why should the hand go to the assistance of the foot? And others can't help themselves. But we can. That's cool. So you can say all this stuff. He said the foot can't pull the nail out itself. And you meet so many people who just can't cope. You know, so help the foot. You know, you got fingers, he doesn't. He can't stretch his toes around and take a nail out of his own foot. So why not help? You see, yeah, that's a cool point. That's a nice point. I was going to take a break, but let's not take a break because we're so close to break time. And, that's just truth. Okay? Also, the logic is flooring. I don't want to interrupt it. Okay? Verse 100. Nancy? Oh. Is this what you want to do? Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, cool. This one gets hard, okay? The guy says, this is interesting. Here's how it goes. This is going to be the hard one for you guys. It's hard for me. So listen carefully. The guy says, right, it's not logical. In the verse it says, that's wrong. Okay? I agree it's not logical. So he didn't go the way you thought he was going to go. He didn't go the way you thought he was going. He said, I agree it's not logical for the hand to take a thorn out of it. I agree it's not logical. I also agree it's not logical for me to collect good karma for a future person who's separate from me. He's trying to hang on to his viewpoint. This gets in the monastery, you say, you know, you go like this. Like, he's starting to, like, his logic has already fallen off the, reasonable scale, but he's still holding on to it. You see what I mean? And you're like, okay, let's keep going. You'll make more and more a fool of yourself. Like, at this point, it's just graceful to say you're right, right? But he's like, no, no. I agree it's illogical that the hand takes care of the foot. And I agree that it's illogical that I'm taking care of my future self. But you know, where he says hold on to itself, Yeltsin J says, what he's saying here is, but I conceive, hold on means conceptio, right? I conceive of myself that way. I agree it's artificial, but I think of myself that way, okay? It's artificial. He's admitting it, okay? I agree the hand is not the foot. I agree they are different. One is other than the other. They're other parts, other things, right? And I agree that I'm not my future self. But I think of myself that way. Okay? I think of the person in the future who's gonna bear the results of my laziness. I think of him as me. And I think of my hand and my foot as being one thing, okay? And I agree it's not technically logical. But I think that way. I conceive of myself that way. And then Delta J says, oh, artificial is wrong. Artificial is wrong. A self, which is the result of a decision or some kind of projection, is wrong. Oh, you should get rid of those. You have to get rid of those ideas. You know, self exists from its own side. Me exists from its own side. It's not just something you make up. Oh, you have to get rid of that idea. Are you saying that the things you see in the world are your projection? Oh, no. They're real. Okay? That's where he's at here. You've got to get there with your students. It's very hard. Are things just what you think of them to be? No. They're real from their own side. Okay? He's being sarcastic, right? See, he's setting him up. Oh, no. Things aren't just what you conceive of them as. Things are real. You really under your skin. The table exists from its own side, you know. Everything exists from its own. Don't think like that. Oh, that would be so wrong. You know, we can't do that, can we? Everything me is coming from its own side. How far I stretch is written in stone. It's not just something you think up. It's not just a conception or a projection. No, no. Got it? You're setting them up. And you should reject that with all the strength you have. Okay? Right? Got it? Yeah. Think about it. Just where you start, where you end. Oh, God, that's not like artificial or something you just make up. That exists in and of itself. It's always been that way. It always will be that way. Because it's not coming from us. Okay, got it? We're setting him up. Alright, next one. This is hard, okay? Your students are going to be yawning, they're going to be tired, it's going to be hot. Michael, you got to find a place with heavy air conditioning. Really, really. Like it's 50% of whether this is going to succeed depends on the air conditioning. I'm not kidding. I'm really not kidding. You can't get this if it's hot. Okay, no, really. This is hard. So, it's what Dwar was talking about. We're talking about extent. How do you project? There's parts, and then you project an idea onto them. That's how the world exists. Okay? When you're standing at a pot, just before you see emptiness directly, on the stove, you're looking at some silver, some round, and some black straight. Silver, round, and black straight. It cannot identify itself as a pot to you. The visual faculty cannot perceive pot. It can only detect shapes and colors. You're standing in front of a stove. You are seeing black, straight, round, silver. That's all. Then something else kicks in and makes it a pot. Who? Your mind, your past karma. It's not a pot. It's not a pot by itself. It's just a collection of parts. Black, straight, round, silver is all the eye can detect. If you see a pot, that's gotta be coming from where? your mind. You are projecting that. That is artificial. Give me some examples. Well, over time, you could say all the Dorotheas since you were born, of 9 o'clock, 9:01, 9:02, 9:03, 9:04, 9:05, 9:06, 9:07, up to the current day, moment, I think of those as me. That's okay. That's me. But it's artificial, right? He says, unreal in the verse. That means artificial, okay? It's contrived, can't we say? It's a decision you've made. To think of those as you. How much do you include in you? Oh, all the me's from when I was born. Oh, that's like a rosary. Who's got a rosary? Just throw it. It's a custom in the monastery. Santana in Sanskrit. Gyu in Tibetan. A string or a rosary. A string of beads. A string of events. Dorothea of her first year, Dorothea of her second year, Dorothea of her third year, Dorothea of her fourth year, this year. And we call it what? A rosary. Is this a rosary? No. It's a bunch of beads. Well, why do you see a rosary? Because of my past karma, my mind groups all those beads together and calls them a separate object called rosary. But really, even the word beads is tricky, right? Beads. It's just beads. Separate beads. Separate. Separate's important in this teaching. Okay? It's separate beads. I choose to think of them as a rosary. I project rosary onto them. They are not rosary, they are just a bunch of beads. A car is a bunch of parts. Carburetor, tires, wheel, engine, transmission. Then I choose to call it a car. I mentally think of that as a car. Got it? So in that sense, it's unreal. It's artificial. Unreal means made up by me, contrived. I think of it that way. I make it that way. By the way, what Master Shantideva doesn't get into here, which, you know, is ACI's shining thing, you know. We don't have anything different from any other Buddhist group in the world. We teach the same books. Same stuff. I was on tour around the U.S. Man, things have changed. Every town has 20 Dharma centers. And they're good. They all got courses. You know, FPMT started its own course thing. Geshe Kyoso Gyatso's everywhere. You know, even the Kagyus are into study courses now. So what do we have this, you know, why should people come to ACI, you know? I mean, in one way, it'd be nice if we were redundant. That's fine. We achieved our goal. That's cool. But, you gotta talk about karma. When you get to this emptiness stuff, you gotta say karma. Why do I think of it as beads? Is it just a decision? No, it's like forced on me by my past beads. Did I take care of other people? I mean, once people start to copy that, we can retire. You know, really. That's all that we got to say. That's all we have. And that's all. Business books, yoga books, relationship books. We got all the Christian stuff coming. You know, why? That's what we have to offer. Emptiness and karma. Okay, it's artificial. But why did I think of it? How did it come to me? Why do you see it as a rosary? And people didn't see this. When I first carried a rosary around New York, it's different from carrying a rosary around New York now. Or since His Holiness has been walking around with one. People saw it as a Catholic rosary. I mean, up until 1980, it could only be a Catholic rosary. You know? Now you see people walking around with beads and you're like, oh, or a hippie bead. It could have been hippie beads. That was when I was young. Now there's a third Tungsumba. Now there's a third possibility. They're Buddhists. They're Buddhists. You see, it's a Buddhist rosary. Where'd that come from? It's just karma. You see, you gotta get used to that. It's just karma. So, over time, Santana, a collection of parts over time, it's unreal. Meaning it's artificial. I decide. Do I decide? That's my question. That's why I went there. Do I decide? Not really. My karma decides. Okay? My karma decides. Okay, next one. What about an army? Why does he mention an army here? That's his example of parts spatially and not over time. So which of the verses before does the rosary relate to? Which of the verses before does the army relate to? Oh, by the way, the word army is artificial because it's really just a bunch of guys. Individual soldiers. Yeah, the army one relates to the hand and foot. Spatially, in the current moment, these parts I consider me. In the way that 200 guys on the marching field, I think of as an army. They're not as individual guys. Now, which verse relates to the continuum one? The rosary one? Oh yeah, my future self. I'm taking care of my future self. Okay? Got it? Okay, it's getting hot. This gets weird. That of one with suffering doesn't exist, so who could control it? What is the that and what is the it? You would never know without a commentary. What is the that and what is the it? That of one with suffering doesn't exist at all. Yeah, Krithivas said a me? The me, capital me. Okay, so remember the that here. The that here is your Atma, your self-existent self. Self-existent, Chelsea. The self of a person doesn't exist at all. There is no Chelsea. So who controls it? Meaning what? What's the it? No. You would never know. It's her pain. How she feels. Chelsea doesn't exist. So who could control how she feels? Who is it that figures out how she's gonna feel? Yeah. Got it? What's the that, I ask you? What's the that? Her self-existent self. What's the it? How she feels. Let's say how she feels. They do, you could say pain, suffering. Suffering and pleasure. Okay. So let's review where we are now. Okay, Joe Schmo. Let me get this straight. Your hand pulls out something from your foot, even though they're separate things. Right. Is that right or logical? No, it's not logical. But are you doing it? Yes, I choose to do it. It's artificial, I admit, but I do it. I do it. Why? I decide who's me. I decided all these parts are me. Is that artificial or real? Oh, it's sort of unreal in a way. Okay. So are you saying you're unreal? Yes. So how can you control anything? How can you decide not to hurt? How can you decide to take care of yourself? You're just artificial. You don't exist. Really. Are you saying that you are a projection? Yes. Then how can you take care of your own pain? Okay? How can you do that? Are you saying you're just the way you tend to think about some parts? Yes. So are you saying that you're not really there in a way, in a sense? Right. So who's taking care of your pain? Who's watching out for number one? There is no you. There is no number one. Okay, this is where it gets confusing, right? This is where it gets confusing. I'll say it again. Are you proposing that the idea of me is artificially defined? Yes. So who's taking care of you? Who is it that watches out for you? You said, other people's pain is not something I need to worry about. Well, I propose that your pain is not something you should worry about. Why? Because you don't exist. You're not real. Of course I'm real. No, you're not. You're just who you decide to be. You decide to be your hand and your foot, right? Yes. You decide to be your future self and yourself. Right. So you're artificial in a way. Right. So why are you taking care of yourself? There is no self. You just said so. Okay? Everybody's confused. That's great. Okay. You gotta cook it as Rinpoche would say, right? You gotta cook it. You gotta cook it. It's you. I suggest it's just your foot that hurts. But isn't That's a separate thing. Now you're introducing mental pain. We're just talking about the physical pain in the foot. The hand doesn't feel that. If you decided to, if your daughter's sick, do you feel concerned? That's all. We always said that example. Hey, goddamn, somebody's scratching a car down there. This red car. John's like, red? What year? You know? No, I mean, and then it's like, my car. And then it all changes, right? It's understood. I met John Bailey's today. I got spinach going down the sink drain, you know? And I'm like, it's okay. It's his place. I'm out of here in a week, you know? And then, but in Arizona, I'm like, get the spinach out of the drain, man. We'll have to, it's $800 to pump this thing out, you know? And you see, I've decided that my drain is part of me. And his drain is not part of me. No, you see, you decide. It's the difference between your concern for your stuff and someone else's stuff. You've got your you going around your drain, right? Diamond Mountain drain. And it doesn't extend around his drain. You see? No, it's a decision. It's artificial. It's very artificial. Even on this body, it's artificial. That's very hard to get. There is no defined me. There's no natural definition of who I am. It's always artificial. How big or small I make it is artificially defined. That's his point. That's all he's saying. And in fact, all objects are the same. They're all just collections of parts. Where I decide, how many parts I decide to include, how many parts I decide not to include, it's artificial. Next verse. Okay, the word fixed in Sanskrit is niyama. Does it sound familiar? From where? Yoga Sutra, yama and niyama, right? Two of the eight limbs of yoga. Yama niyama asana, pranayama pratyahara, dhamana jnana samadhi, savango. These are the eight limbs of yoga, yama and niyama. Niyama means in Tibetan dhamcha, dhodamirungwa, that which you cannot just forget. Meaning dhamcha means a commitment you've made. Niyama means commitment. Pledge. Okay? Niyama means a pledge. What are they, by the way? Shaucha? Santosha? Tapa? Sadhyaya Shparatam Dhanani? Niyama? What are they? Shaucha? Cleanliness? Santosha? Contentment with what you have? Tapas? Tapas? A spiritual hardship? Sadhyaya? Sadhyaya? Which means study, spiritual study. Ishvara Pranidhana, serving your master. Okay? Those are the niyamas. You pledge, it will be this way. I pledge. This is what niyama means. Dhamta in Tibetan. I swear. I swear, it's that way. He says, the fixed thing is niyama, okay? The word fixed is niyama. He says, hey, what's fixed? What's niyama? What's fixed about you and me? You see what I mean? What's so natural, defined, about you and me? There's nobody who owns that pain. You just admitted that. Huh? You did. You said it was artificial. You said you decided that you would include your hand into your foot. You decided that the guy who gets your 401k money will be you. You decided that. That's artificial, isn't it? Yeah. So why do you keep insisting that there's this difference between you and other people? You can't say Kavamachu. You can't say Kavamachu. You can't say their pain is not my problem because it's their pain. You can't say that anymore. Why? Because the idea of they is artificial. There is no fixed they. There is no fixed you. Give it up. Okay, it's like, what's the use? Teacher in the, what is it? In the, Kinchit, right? It's like kinchit in Tibetan. Sanskrit means, why do you keep hanging on to that? Why do you keep niyama, you know? Oh, it's a vow, it's a pledge. It's definitely fixed. Why do you keep hanging on to that? And then at the same breath, you're saying your hand takes care of your foot. What's wrong with you? Why are you taking care of the guy with the 401k? Oh, I decide who me is. Oh, we got you. Then it's artificial. Right. So why do you keep hanging on to this distinction between me and you? It's artificial. You just agreed it was artificial. Okay? This verse is like, why do you keep hanging on to that? Why do you keep saying it's fixed? Definite. Me ends here. You starts there. Come on. Okay? Got it? Kim Chit. What the heck? Oh, this is our last verse coming up. Whose turn? Okay. Yeah, this is tough. The guy says, no. Me stops here. You starts there. You know, oh yeah? But it's artificial, right? Yeah. It's artificial. Okay, well let's turn it around then. This is cool. Let's turn it around then. Okay? Just because it's pain, it's not something you have to worry about, right? Right, I said that. So just because you have to remove pain, it doesn't mean you have to remove all pain. That's what I'm saying. So I have an idea. Let's not remove your pain. Why? You decide. You decided not to. If Master Shantideva says, if you're gonna remove any pain at all, remove all of it. You know? The line is artificial. If you're gonna stop pain, stop all pain for God's sake. The guy is like, no. So Shantideva says, well then stop stopping your own pain. Why? That's part of all pain. Get it? I'll say it again. The guy says, we say to the other guy, are you going to remove pain? Yeah, but only mine. So you don't feel like if you remove any pain at all, you should remove all the pain in the world. No, I don't feel like that. Okay, so let's not remove your pain. Why? Because it's part of all the pain in the world. Logical? I mean, according to his thinking, it's logical. Got it? It's very tricky. You got the hardest class of the 10. That ends it, by the way. That's the end of it. It's the hardest class of the 10. I'll say it again. Okay? Hey guy, are we gonna remove your pain? Yes, definitely. Are we gonna remove other people's pain? No. Why? I can't worry about all the pain in the world. Okay, so let's not worry about your pain. Why? It's part of all the pain in the world. Okay. Yeah, go. I know. What do you guys think? Oh, yeah, she said something which is, I think that's the best answer. Practice. It's habit. It comes from habit. And you know what Master Shantideva said, give up potatoes first and don't give away your house. Like, get good at it first. The next class we do in the evening today, it's all going to be about the power of habituation. Like, you can get used to anything. And I would venture to say that mothers, I've not been a mother in this life, but you get to a point, no, where the pain of your child is as unbearable as your own pain or more. I would think, no? I think so. Did I mention that? I think so. I guess I would say that with practice you can change that. That's the truth. Yeah. There's also an argument that Shantideva doesn't give. And I wonder about it sometimes, and you think about it. Won't other people's pain eventually hurt you anyway? Or is that not true? I don't know. He doesn't give that argument. I don't remember that argument here, but isn't it true that eventually we're all so interconnected? That's what His Holiness would say. That you can no longer tolerate. Yeah. Yeah, that eventually the problem in Iraq will come back to us in a very personal way. That even just on a practical level, quote practical, which is impractical, but anyway, you can't ignore other pain because sooner or later it will hurt you. I find this with people that I'm around. Like, if you aren't concerned about other people's mental health and spiritual health, then if you continue to be around them, then sooner or later it will hurt you. It's just a setting time bombs for yourself. Yeah.